Beaming out across the galaxy, this is where conspiracy on the wild side meets the perspective of a lifetime. This is the Free Zone with your host, Freeman.
Hello and welcome to the Free Zone. It is wonderful to be here with all of you in this madness that we call life. A little bit of madness that's going on for you members, just so you know, there is a bit of a glitch. I have upgraded FreemanTV.com to a brand new server. It's going to be much faster, stronger, and everything's going to be awesome. But there's a glitch, and the glitch is that you can't sign into the RSS feed in the members section. Now, good news is you can get all the shows right there at FreemanTV.com, just going to the members section and download, do whatever you need to do with them there. And by next week, I should have this RSS problem figured out. Truth is, no one in the world knows what's wrong. So it's up to me to figure this out. And, don't worry about that. I am behind the scenes, keeping things running, keeping it going, and I will just keep this thing running for you. So fear not. If you can't sign in through the RSS feed and your password's not working, it will. I promise. You can listen to the shows right there on FreemanTV.com. No problem. And for those of you that are not members yet, now is a great time to subscribe. I have built the dream team, and we are about to pump out so much knowledge for you folks, and it's just going to build into this wonderful community, and you really want to be a part of this. And so jump on now, get over to FreemanTV.com, click on subscribe, and it's 23 cents a day, and you're going to support all these wonderful people and the great show and all the things that we do. So as the new hosts come out, we present them all to you. We have Corinne Wilson. Oh, you guys are going to love this in cult knowledge. We have Mark Devlin. He's going to be epic. And Zach Bauer, he's going to be going off the wall. So these are the ones in the lineup for now, and I have more signing up as we go. So it's just going to be an amazing system going on here where you're going to get the most kind understanding there is to go around. So dig deep into FreemanTV.com. Get in there. There's no old shows. Trust me, if you go back 11 years, we're still going to be just dealing with the knowledge that you need to understand the choices of our brave new future. That is all there. Decades of information coming at you through FreemanTV.com to understand the choices that we will be talking about tonight with Joseph Atwill. And now Joseph, if you guys don't know, is the controversial author of Caesar's Messiah. And you can check this out at caesarsmessiah.com or postflaviana.org. And of course, these will be linked right there on the website for you to get on over and check out all these amazing works and figure out why Joe is so controversial. You will learn this now. So as we're dealing with our choices today, and we have to try and decide what world event we have to focus on, because now we are the people that are in charge of everything, right? That's the way they make us feel. And we're supposed to select something from this crisis of characters we call our presidential candidates. So please welcome to the show, Joe Atwill.
Freeman, it's a pleasure to be here. It's a pleasure to hear your voice. Thanks for having me back.
Oh, it's always a great time having you here, Joe. You're a wonderful brain out there, and I just, I love to pick it.
Sure, we'll go ahead. Well,
Have you seen this this bobblehead video of Hillary Clinton seeming to have some sort of stroke while dealing with too much stress? Seems to now set her off into either a giggling fit or some weird trauma, seizure looking event going on with Hillary Trump. Did you see this bobblehead
thing? I did, and I thought that not very likely she was having a seizure. I think what you're looking at is just basically the reaction she has to her meds. I think it's pretty well understood that most of what we see as the political elite kind of...
You got to laugh, right? This is ridiculous. Yeah, I mean,
they're just on drugs. I mean, they couldn't really keep their acting roles straight if they basically had sort of normal consciousness. So I just think that she was spasming, probably to not having the right cocktail. I mean, they probably have like 5 or 6 different psychotropics and tranquilizers in her at all times.
Well, it doesn't seem to work though, Joe. She has these fits of anger. She cusses everybody out. She beats on people. Is this the, I mean, when we're looking at our selection here, Joe, and we've got Hillary, who is having seizures under stress, who goes into giggle fits. And then we have Trump, who is just the most immature tweeter out there. Both of these people are unstable. I would not put a single one of them, in my personal opinion, in front of Putin to deal with any sort of social issues or global issues or anything. And so, I mean, when do we... How is it, Joe? You're the man to ask this. How is it that people still think they have a choice? How is it that they can
Interesting.
Debate?
Yeah. Well, I just think that they have been conditioned by years of indoctrination to the idea that there is a functioning democracy. I mean, anyone, you know, can easily ask themselves the question, if I were an oligarch and had basically unlimited money and I wanted political power, would I just try to control one political party? I mean, what sort of power is there in controlling one political party? What if it loses? No, I think that most people who ask themselves the question will realize that you have to control both political parties, right? That you have to do that. So since we are obviously an oligarchy, right, obviously the wealth is all that, you know, it has any sort of power in our nation, you can be sure that the oligarchs have a cooperation among themselves, and that there is, in fact, I think, really good evidence that there's actually a secret society, which basically controls the what we see as a dialectic. So when you get Trump and Hillary, I think really what you're dealing with are lifetime actors. And really what you're seeing is a movie, you know, a pageant, a script being executed. And so Hillary and Trump, as they're represented in the media, these are just dramatic devices. It's sort of like a screenplay writer creating dramatic structure and tension by creating really, hateable or lovable characters. And so with Hillary and Donald, I think, most likely you've just got lifetime actors, and they are representing iconic personalities. So you have the white male, you know, blonde-haired, emotionally wild, racist, but full of, you know, piss and vinegar and trying to, you know, return America to greatness, against the, you know, kind of in the best case, sort of a feminist, do-gooder, mother, the earth mother type. I mean, that's kind of how they structure it, is to just to create the most dramatic tension, because they want us to be interested in their personalities and within a very narrow range of issues. So you have, you know, Bruce Jenner, you have same-sex marriage, you know, the same-sex bathrooms. I mean, these are the issues that will be given to the public that they can make their choices on. Trump will be opposed to same-sex bathrooms. I think Hillary will be ambivalent. You know, they'll just create a kind of dramatic structure, and the public is supposed to play along. But, I mean, Hillary, I just see her as basically, you know, a homicidal maniac. I mean, she just couldn't, you know, I mean, go along with the foreign policy in the way she has, if she had any empathy at all. And I don't know if you, there's a documentary called Clinton Cash that I hope everyone watches, because it actually just correlates the political activity that Hillary engaged in as Secretary of State with the money that came in to the Clintons in terms of speaking fees for Bill and also direct donations into their foundation, which was supposed to be something that could raise money for building, you know, a maybe 12,000 square foot library, and has somehow now acquired between $2 and $3 billion.
Right. Yeah.
It's just ludicrous. And then in the meantime, Bill has picked up, you know, $150 million in speaking fees. But the film says, look, you know, just as an example, Haiti, that all of these individuals gave money to the Clintons, and then all of these individuals end up with these kind of very juicy financial situations, building hotels, gold mining permits, the telephone system that Haiti now has. All of these people were enormous donors to the Clintons. And in the meantime, the Haitian victims of the earthquake, because this was, remember, the Bill Clinton basically took over the role of, you know, assisting to the rebuilding Haiti project. And then Hillary, as Secretary of State, had control over a lot of the permits. So the Clintons basically just raped the island. They took almost all of the money and largesse that came to Haiti as a result of the earthquake. Hillary's brother is sitting on the board of directors and is a huge shareholder in a company that was given the first gold mining permit in Haiti in like 50 years. The guy that gave them, I mean, I, you know, like my mind can't recall exactly, but it was like 10 million, something like that. He ends up with the telephone system. Other huge donors end up building all these hotels. But in the meantime, the people of Haiti almost got nothing.
Right.
And they actually brought a suit against the Clintons because they were just outraged over the fact that they got nothing while the Clintons just gave all of their political cronies every single part of the island that they wanted. And what's important, Freeman, to, you know, to understand about this, it isn't just that they're crooks and that they lie. It's that they would be willing to actually basically do damage to these disadvantaged poor people of Haiti, right? You know, and not let them have the aid that the fund, the money the U.S. taxpayers were coming up with. They would rather maneuver that funds into their crony capitalist wallets rather than to give the aid to the people who are suffering so much, right? Yeah. So this is just absolutely clear, you know, understanding, I mean, evidence of what these people are like, you know. Right. They are just complete liars. They are they're like Bugsy Siegel and Meyer Lansky taking over our political system.
They are murderers and thieves.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's really that simple.
Well, let's take this conspiracy. Yeah, let's get into a little conspiracy theory.
Oh, yeah,
because, all right, we're looking at two unstable characters as our selection for the election. And one, Hillary is battling this FBI email fiasco, and they may have released her on the releasing of these information, but now they're trying to charge her for the information in there. And then meanwhile, Trump is saying it's a ridiculous rigged election, and they're saying that Trump will probably drop out. So now we're looking at this scenario where the two heads that are running for this position might suddenly just get yanked out of the puzzle all of a sudden, right?
Yeah, it's this really banana republic kind of stuff. But no, I don't think either one of them will be taken out before the election. I just think that there will be the threat of that hanging over it just to add dramatic spice. Because remember, we're dealing with a pageant. It's a theatrical production, and so you need to create weird and unusual dramatical tension structures so that the people pay attention to it. You know, I mean, if it was just Hillary and Trump talking the issues in the way that they would talk about them, which is, you know, more war, more Federal Reserve. I mean, it would just be something that the public wouldn't be interested in. And you know, it's of course, the public would realize if they did have that kind of discussion that, you know, we have no candidate in the race, basically. There isn't anyone that we can possibly look to. So they're just going to keep it. I mean, I think Bruce Jenner will play a big role in the campaign in the last half of it.
Yeah.
you know, I think the same-sex bathroom issue will be basically served up at some point. I think that, you know, like today, you know, the guy who served the papers to the Clintons ended up dead. I don't know if you saw this, but Sean Lucas was, you know, a citizen who was peeved about what the emails revealed in terms of the DNC's cooperation with the Clinton campaign to try to squeeze out Sanders. And so he brought suit, right? And then, as often is the case with people who headbutt the Clintons, he ended up dead under mysterious circumstances this afternoon. There are a few people who keep track of the bodies. I mean, it's just almost ludicrous. I mean, you know, from Vince Foster and even before Foster, you know, one thing you don't want to do, let me just advise you right now, brother, do not get a job working with the Clintons.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like beyond, you know, crab fishing in the Bering Sea. Your chances of surviving it are very, very small. So just stay away from them, because murder evidently is, you know, just a technique. And I just think, you know, it's that's what we're in for. It's going to be lots of mudslinging, really low class and low important emotional issues. I think race is going to be huge. I think that they'll try to set up a dialectic, you know, where there'll be videos of police brutalizing African Americans. I think this is going to, you know, become very popular over the campaign. And then I think in response, you'll have, you know, kind of sniping activity. I mean, really sniping, not just petty sniping, but I mean, actually, you know, assassinations of policemen in response. And I think that's going to be, you know, one of the dialectics that'll keep the emotional tension going. But it's all fake. I mean, this is all just orchestrated to debase the intellect of the citizens and to make them interested in an election that has absolutely no chance of producing anything or any person that's going to help any of the problems we're having. I mean, our country is literally collapsing, Freeman. The economy is being strangled, and the government is lying about it.
Who's ever in charge of picking these people? They got to know that it's going to be an epic meltdown. I mean, looking at the global picture, we've got Vladimir Putin saying, hey, look, World War III is inevitable. And you guys just keep pushing it. And the media just keeps pushing it. And we're going to ask someone like Hillary, who goes into laughing fits under stress, or someone like Trump, who will tweet angry tweets at you, to be our president to deal with this critical issue.
Yeah, democracy is just completely broken. I mean, our nation is literally under greater threat now than at any time since the Revolutionary War.
Well, do you think they would have picked these people to break it? I mean, to finally just crumble it to its knees?
Well, I definitely think that's coming to a head. I don't think that, for example, I don't think our financial system can last a whole lot longer. I think that we've hit escape velocity in terms of debt. And I think it's kind of a free-for-all now in terms of the rule of law is breaking down for the ruling class. They're not even pretending any longer that, you know, they have to worry about the citizens. And so you get things like, you know, you know, some of the stuff people are probably not too aware of, but I mean, the Clintons made millions of dollars selling uranium, arranging for permits to a company that works with the Russian government, right?
Yeah, now, remember, folks, that the motto in Arkansas when Bill was running was elect Bill Clinton, get him out of Arkansas. That's the truth.
Yeah. Well, I mean, with Clinton, you've got the solid secret society, ID. He was a demolé during his youth. He attends Yale University, that cesspool of secrecy. And then obviously he goes on to a Rhodes Scholarship. So, you know, as he enters his adult life, he's already been identified by the oligarchs and trained. And I've been asking to get DNA samples of both Clintons because I really want to compare them to the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers, the Warburgs, the Bush family. I really want to know how this society that is so evil, so cold-blooded, you know, what are these centrifugal forces that keep it together? You know, people have suggested it's just some kind of agreement about money and power, but I wonder about that. And so I really want to see some actual evidence to prove to me that we're not dealing with some kind of a family.
And folks,
and let me say one little cute thing. Sorry. So about a year ago, maybe a little bit longer, actually, I brought this up. I've been saying in, you know, other radio shows I do, look, you know, let's get some DNA. I mean, I've got to know who we're voting for, you know. And a caller asked me, they said, well, name some people, you know, like, and I said, well, one would be Madonna. You know, she's a culture polluter. You know, she represents herself as coming from some kind of Catholic, Roman Catholic family. And yet, you know, she appears with the pyramid and the all-seeing eye on jacket she wears in movies and as she walks around. I said, you know, I'd really like to get some background of this horror Babylon. And so let's just, you know, if someone knows her, ask her if she'd give us a swab so that we can, you know, test her. And once we got a couple hundred media personalities, some financial oligarchs, some political figures, some controllers of the media, you know, we could start to build a little bit of a database. Experts could come in. We could start, you know, getting some real democracy, and we'd know who we're voting for, who we're watching on the media. Anyway, so I made the suggestion, and then someone then sent me, it was about 4 or 5 months later, someone sent me this article, and it said that Madonna now travels with a DNA cleanup crew. So I don't know if I was, you know, in back of that, but it was amusing, you know, how the two events juxtaposed. And I'm going to state right now that as the project goes forward, I think a lot of people now are talking about it as something that's possible. I think you're going to see a lot of DNA cleanup crews because I don't think people want the public to know who they're related to and what families are involved in any of this stuff.
Yeah, I was going to say, if somebody's out there running around getting presidential DNA, somebody please get me Barack Obama or Michelle Obama's DNA, preferably Barack's, because I already have a picture of Akhenaten's DNA, so I can compare the two. That's all I need is Obama's, and I'll set that lid shut on that one. But yeah, absolutely, Madonna runs around with a DNA cleanup crew, and so I assume the president would. Now, Russia Today, or whatever they're calling themselves now, RT News, actually just posted an article saying our brave new world should be taken into consideration with the political campaign. And what they're talking about is gene splicing, human cloning, killer robots and the pharmaceuticals like Soma that are coming about. So no one's dealing with these very heady issues. It just was reported that the sheep that were cloned from the clone of Dolly are living well and having happy lives. Actually, Ra'el, the head of the Raelian movement and one of the founders of CloneAid, is announcing, well, look, see, cloning is safe. I told you. For 16 years now, I've been talking about this brave new world that we're going to have to deal with. And no one's considering any of the, you know, we just had our first killer robot used in the policing action in Dallas. We have Google buying all of DARPA's military robots and AI technology. We've got clones running rampant around and glow-in-the-dark cats. But this doesn't seem to be part of our speak at this time.
Right. Well, interesting you use the term Brave New World because, you know, Huxley talked about, you know, a stratification of society based on programmed intellectual power. So you'd have the epsilons and the deltas at the bottom doing the menial jobs and then the alphas and alpha pluses running everything. That was, you know, what Huxley hoped would come about and was working through MKUltra to bring about. I mean, okay, so it's really very important to, just to digress for a second, to now that Huxley has been exposed, and I mean just absolutely flat out demonstrated to have been not just in MKUltra, but an administrator, right? And MKUltra now is, I think, well established as having been working to develop the power to be able to control people through different kinds of technical means. So we now can look at Huxley's work and realize that he isn't in opposition to this. This is what he wants to bring about. And so you can see that, there's a quote that was in a book written by, I think his name is Irving Berlin, and he was a friend of Huxley and also of Baron Rothschild. And he was at a party where they were at. They were good friends, Huxley and the old Baron. And Berlin doesn't give the quotes, but he paraphrases what Huxley's saying. And he said, you know, Huxley talks about humans like they're just components in a machine, like they're basically just elements of, you know, some kind of analytic process. And so this is really was a great insight into the perspective that the oligarchs have, right, toward all of us, is we are just, we have the value of a part in a machine. And so, you know, when you talk about like, well, where is the brave new world, you know, going to take us? What are the choices we can make that can make it better? Look, I hate to say it, but the brave new world doesn't include us anymore. The robots that you're talking about, they are going to be the epsilons and the deltas. Humanity will be done away with. I mean, they're working on this transhumanism, and, you know, and they've always been looking at a way to program humans, right? Since cybernetics was part of the Macy Conference, which basically was the predecessor to MKUltra. So they've been looking for these ways to control humans, to make us partly machine, to make us, you know, controlled by different, you know, psychological techniques. Well, I mean, the MKUltra stuff was focusing on like a lot of stuff like sleep deprivation, you know, breaking the minds of the people, rendering them basically insane, but easy to control, right? So this was their moral perspective. But now I think when you look at these just horrible and monstrous computers that are being produced, Freeman, I'm thinking that they don't even have a plan for us as epsilons and deltas anymore. I'm thinking it's just alphas, pluses, and their robots. So the future doesn't look bright for the middle class.
Do they have no idea how horrible it would be to live with all of them?
Yeah, I mean, the thing is that they their psychology is very difficult to guess at. And I wouldn't just, you know, sort of automatically suppose that they are like us, except, you know, perverted. You know, they've been working at this project for thousands of years, and who knows what they're like at this point with their inbreeding. I mean, if you look at like the Darwins, the Huxleys, and the Wedgwoods, right? So you get, you know, Darwin coming up with survival of the fittest, which becomes social Darwinism, right? This elaborate sophistry that justifies the upper class. You know, Huxley gets into Brave New World. Thomas Huxley, his grandfather, is, you know, creating cybernetics and transhumanism. Well, these families have been breeding just with themselves for generations. Right. I mean, it's like the Rothschilds, you know, they were into cousin marriages. And this goes back, you know, I mean, who knows? But as far as we can tell, basically, you know, since the very beginning, the Roosevelt family was a cousin breeding family, you know. And so I don't know. I think the first step to getting some clarity as what we're dealing with, let's get some DNA evidence. I mean, I want to just see what's inside these people. How close are they to real humans?
Yeah, yeah, I'm right there with you. And it blows me away, Joe, that MKUltra is now just popular culture. There's a new TV show out called Stranger Things, and it's, yeah, you know, it's just MKUltra as a storyline.
No big deal.
Yeah.
You know, but the problem is that they've been pretty good at being able to get people to think of MKUltra as programming individuals, You know, so you have assassins, right? You have the Manchurian Candidate and the Bourne Identity. I mean, that's what people think of MKUltra. But they don't think about, you know, the Grateful Dead, and they don't think about, the Midnight Climax, where they were giving LSD to citizens, you know, and then filming them, right, to see the responses. So the problem is that the citizens don't recognize that MKUltra was a project against them. It was a project that succeeded, right? And it was never vetted. It was never brought under control. It was never even exposed. You know, Helms destroyed all of the actual documents of it. And so all that MKUltra, you know, really does for sure is it shows that there's another group above this, right? You couldn't have one little component of the CIA going, well, we're going to go rogue. We're going to create the counterculture and make, you know, all the young people take drugs. I mean, this couldn't happen. There has to be way beyond MKUltra layers of power and authority that were permitting this to take place. That's what we got to go after is how was it that MKUltra was given the sanction to go after and change the baby boomer, to bring about sex, drugs, and rock and roll, you know, and to destroy the family so that you wouldn't have, you know, children being produced, you wouldn't have strong, politically powerful families. Instead, you'd just have these atomized individual, the single mom, ludicrous, you know, white male in the singles bar. I mean, these things are kind of dismal even in, you know, the 20, when you're 20, but when you're like 40, it's not right. You know, you can see that somehow you've been taken to a bad place, and we were, and it was done deliberately. And so, that's why I'm such a fan of your work, because I think it's really one of the very best forums that we have, you know, to educate people. I mean, I just really think your work is fantastic. And I think that, if it is manifested 1,000 times into our world, we got a fighting chance. So, you know, I hope you wake up tomorrow with a lot of energy.
Well, thank you so much. And yeah, I feel that way too, that everyone listening to us right now is just another conduit. And I've seen the radiation that I've had into society and into things. Rainbow Gathering was really kind of a shock for me because I saw that I had affected that world, and it was a kind of a microcosm to allow me to see that. And I also have people plenty of time telling me I changed their lives. So just this one person, then it spreads. And what I'm thinking now is we're talking about MKUltra and things like the Grateful Dead and how the Deviant Society was created, but then they were also the revolutionaries were pulled out of the loop. When I think of the Grateful Dead, I always think about how these deadheads were people that just did not want to fit into the system. And so they just got pulled into this Pied Piper that just never lets them affect the rest of society. They're just stuck in their little loop, and the feds keep them in their, you know, trail, and they never get to radiate out into society and cause a little chaos and change.
God, that's really well said. I mean, basically, those people were the canary in the coal mine, and they should have been basically what alerted the rest of us that, you know, there was something really wrong and sick inside our society. But instead, they were taken into a cul-de-sac from which they really couldn't do anything. You know, once they basically saw a kind of spiritual power from the drugs, they were just intellectually impotent. I mean, basically, you know, the music, the Grateful Dead music is so stupid. And the lyrics are so, you know, just asinine. You have to be on drugs to listen to the darn stuff, you know? And this is what the deadheads ended up being, so sadly. But it's, you know, anyway, they're going to have a harder time, I think, in the future, because the internet has created finally a chance for the people to have their own media, we have to fill the void as rapidly as we can, right? It's really up to everyone who has the ability to, and has knowledge to just get it out on the internet and basically replace the mainstream media, which is simply an indoctrinational apparatus. And it's happening. The first step is that the mainstream media is just dramatically losing subscription. They're every single one of these networks is losing viewers just every single day. Every single day. They have an internet corporation now that basically represents all of the large print media. It's one single company. I know a lot about this because I have, close contact that actually is employed in there. And all of the magazines are going to zero. I mean, Condé Nast, Vogue, Sports Illustrated, Time, all of the newspapers, they can all see it. They can see the future. And it isn't just because the internet provides, unlimited choices. On the contrary, what they have realized, it's because people don't trust the media anymore. And that's just the greatest news that we've had in years, that there is this mistrust now. And it comes directly from people like you. It comes directly from that. Because, you see, even if people don't accept just out of hand what you say, but I think almost everyone that listens to you comes away with some greater degree of skepticism, because they don't have to buy into everything, all of the arcane understanding and the relationships and the symbology, that your work represents. But man, they can buy into, I think just everyone can buy into the fact that you're just a righteous, honest, smart person bringing out true concepts, And when they experience that, and think about, someone who's like, in their 30s or 40s, they never experienced anything like that or any individual like that during their entire trajectory inside of mainstream media. They never got one person that actually seemed sane and smart and righteous, right? Telling them, all of this stuff is BS. It's all completely fake. They never heard that. But now they do. And the first step is skepticism, and then out and out mistrust. And then third, they subscribe to your new TV network.
There you go.
So there's the trajectory that people need to go on.
Yeah, and we can see the opposite side of this coin as well. Whereas Disney Co. came out, spent $600 million to buy Makers Studios, which is a YouTube studio, YouTube production company that puts out like PewDiePie and the Shaytards. They spent, Disney spent $600 million to buy PewDiePie. All right. And we need to understand that they are one of our biggest social engineers out there. And this idea of the narcissism that is being built out of this whole situation, I find that this, this World Wide Web is a double-edged sword without a doubt, and is building this narcissism. What do you say, Joe?
Absolutely. And I didn't mean to imply that it's a straight line toward nirvana.
Oh, no.
Look, they know what they're doing, and they're definitely taking control everywhere they can. But the fact is, we got a chance because we can represent on ourselves and our ideas into the internet. They can't stop that currently. And so, yeah, they can buy the structures. They can buy YouTube. They can, create Yahoo, AOL with the all-seeing eye and the pyramid. I mean, but the hell with that crap, because the fact is there can be other smaller networks. One of the great revolutionary things was just the onset of WordPress, where people could create their own little blog sites. They didn't need to pay, $1,500 to have some guru come in. And, this enabled more and more people, a larger fraction of our people, to communicate with one another. And, actually feel that they could do this, that they could actually get into the internet, say something, and have other people respond. See?
And it
so
shows
this is
you,
great, you know?
Yeah, it shows you the nature of humanity, folks, really, because beyond the narcissism, when you're looking at WordPress and being able to make your own website, there's so much open source plugins that are going into this that people are just working their little hearts out to build an amazing worldwide web for free, for nothing, and hoping for your donations generally. So we see this open source society that could be formed and maybe even some sort of permaculture integrated systems that would work, and we wouldn't have to sit back and have a selection between Hillary and Trump, you know?
Yeah, that's right. And you know, it's interesting because my daughter is... one of my daughters is in the technical world and, you know, basically interacts with Silicon Valley. And she says, and the people that that I've talked to, that I've met through her, she says, you know, and they say in general that they just want to build a good world and they feel they can do it. And they don't even think they need government. You know,
Authority always gets in the way.
Yeah, we just don't need it. There isn't anything there. There, you know, what the government does is kind of useless and stupid, and there's just no reason even to participate in it. I mean, this is a really, really great and revolutionary idea. You know, just to build your own structures, your own social structures, develop your own powers. You know, your own way of communicating. You don't need the media. You don't need their currency. You don't need any of this stuff.
Yeah.
You know, even Bitcoin, which is troubling because it's so easy to manipulate, but still the idea of just saying, you know, the central banks and all of these weird oligarchic families that own it, I mean, it's just a waste of time doing any business with them. You see, it just nothing good for us will come of the interaction. Let's just build something else. Why do we need them? Right? Why do we need their credit cards and their dollar and all this stuff? This is ridiculous. What's the dollar anyway? It's just our believing in it. Let's believe in something else, you know?
Friendship is the new currency, folks. We're going to work at that. Before we wrap up this hour, I wanted to know if you had any comments on Pokemon Go.
Well, I think it's, you know, basically I look at these kinds of things as mind control. I think that it's probably being studied, you know, for, to what extent and people can be controlled and how the internet works in terms of control. I mean, you know, go back to, you know, the Princeton Radio Project, 38 with Orson Welles and all of the, you know, the Frankfurt School that was working with him to bring about the War of the Worlds Halloween event, right? And where they were telling people that this was going on at this site. And they were actually citing, you know, the different elements in the community where the Martians were. And then they were just sitting back and studying it all. I mean, that's how I look at it. It's just more sophisticated and it's more internet related, but it's I'm sure there's malfeasance at its core.
Yeah, folks, if you think that software is intrusive and try to install Amazon on your tablet and it's going to ask you all the same things, that it needs access to the power, needs access to your camera, needs access to your all your information and everything, and it can turn on your stuff and turn it off. The last thing I wanted to just think about in this first hour is the idea that in 1984 the character Winston was sitting there writing, you know, which was a criminal act, and he's, you know, you always have this sense of being watched, and suddenly he finds out that Big Brother actually is watching him through his television. Currently, we're excited when the tablet announces you now have a person right on the other side of this button and you can just talk to them anytime you want.
Yeah,
you know, it's like there's no fear.
Yeah, well, they're breaking it down. They're trying to basically bring the their electronic surveillance right into your home and make you feel good about it. We need to be really alert. The battle is engaged. They're going to try to use the internet as the final nail in the coffin of social control, and we have to try to break that and use it for our own good.
Absolutely, folks. And if you You know, it might be my new position to start making people websites. It'll only be $2,000. But I will make you a damn good website. No, it's funny because this has become my new occupation. I had no idea that I was going to become a webmaster and that now I can do all of this stuff. And I know what an HTTP or HT access file is and your PHP and your IP and all of that good stuff. I'm into it now and I'm deep because I have to be because I want to make FreemanTV.com awesome. So
was it hard to learn how to do?
Well, you know, the truth is, Joe, that no one knows what. Okay, so when you're dealing with WordPress, we're dealing again with integrated systems, and this is it could turn out to be a nice microcosm on how things could work. But like I was saying, people just make these plugins with open source. And you can edit these, you can write them, you can make them, you know, change them, do whatever you need. And so in this way, no one is an expert on anything. So if you're dealing with WordPress and you've got this plugin and that plugin, then the tech support's going to be like, well, no, I can't help you with that. You know, I don't know anything about that plugin. And then so it turns out you really have to learn everything on your own, figure out what the problem is, and then go tell tech support what you figured out.
Wow.
At least that's been my last 8 hours. So I am backing up my entire website right now as we speak, and I am going to go and work on that problem I have, the glitch that no one knows how to fix. And you know, the people that made the plugin, they don't know. The people, nobody knows. They're just like, I don't know, because it's so many integrated systems into this that, you know. But it has gotten super simple now. If you don't want a monster of a website that has 11 years of data going back with all of the graphics and images, links, and all that good stuff that I have on there, then you can do this pretty easily and have yourself set up. You know, I could make you a functioning website in a matter of minutes, honestly. So it's amazing, brave new world, as we say. And we're going to take this discussion, folks, over to the other side, into the members section, as we get a little deeper into the ultimate false flags that are going to be coming our way. The fright campaign that's going to be hitting us. We're going to discuss some more of the social engineering and the psychological warfare going on. Get into a little bit of flying saucers, UFOs, and the possible false flag of the UFO invasion. We've already touched on Huxley, so yeah. We might as well go to Wells. But we're going to take this Disney telling you UFOs are real. We're going to figure out what this puzzle is and what they're attempting to get out of us. So please always remember that it is our reaction that they are after, and that they do all this stuff because you are so amazing and they don't want you to know. Right?
Right.
So like I say, it's a great time to subscribe to FreemanTV.com right now, because we're going to have this amazing network for you, bringing you all kinds of amazing stuff. And I just keep saying amazing, amazing, because it is. It's wonderful to have all of this come together, to bring these great people together and have this platform. And you'll be catching Joe Atwill on Mark Devlin's show. It's going to be going on. So subscribe today. Get over to FreemanTV.com. Just link on there. And absolutely get over to Joe Atwill's sites, which are postflaviana.org. You might have to Google that or just click the link in the, in the post here. And caesarsmessiah.com. Because as Joe has been unveiling on this show, this story goes way back, and we constantly come back to this concept that we need to know who we're dealing with. So if you can get a piece of that DNA, folks, get it on over here. We'll make good use of it. So we're going to flip it on over to the members section. I hope you'll all join us over there, because this is when it gets wild. And if not, we will see you all next week. Thank you. Give us thumbs up and all that good stuff. Thank you for putting us back in the top 100 on Stitcher. You guys are awesome. 62 votes. That's the most I've ever seen. Keep that up. You know, let's get to the top of these platforms so that people know this show exists and we can start to radiate all over the place. Come over to friendshipagenda.com. If you're looking for more people like you, you don't know anyone to talk to, we've got friendshipagenda.com. It is our own social network site just for us. So if you feel like an outsider like all of us do, and you want to find the rest of the weirdos out there like us, then that's where we're at. We're hanging out at friendshipagenda.com. And I guess I should mention that Facebook has kicked me off again. And so I'm going towards profile number 8. and I will get that up there, and I'll start friend requesting all of you again. You know, that's like 3,000 to 5,000 friend requests that I have to send out, so my thumb gets very tired. But it's a great way to connect with all of you, and they keep knocking me down. So I'm on Facebook number 8. Be on the lookout for that. I haven't set it up yet because screw Facebook, man. social networking, oh my God. But follow me on Twitter if you want to get all of the amazing news that I cover on this show. It is Freeman TV on Twitter. It's Freeman TV everywhere you go. So just check it out. They're all linked there right there on freemantv.com. Thank you all so much for being you. And I want to remind you that you are the best audience, the best people I have ever met in my life. And you know it because I've met you all. So we'll see you all next week.